Our next topic is very relevant with all the consolidation of physicians across the state. Employment of physicians has become very prevalent. We're all dealing with physician employment agreements, so we're lucky to have this panel discuss deconstructing the physician employment agreement. We have Jeff, who is with Jackson Walker, who for the last 20 years has been advising clients on healthcare regulatory matters, hospital operations, and medical staff issues. And Frankie is the Vice President and Deputy General Counsel at Baylor College of Medicine and oversees the daily legal needs of the college and its affiliated entities. David is an Assistant General Counsel at Texas Children's Hospital in Houston and is responsible for managing all employment, litigation, and governmental investigation matters across the organization. So I'll turn it over to you, Jeff. You're going to be moderating today?
I am.
Okay.
Great.
Don't forget, I'll be sitting right there with the...
Okay. Hopefully we'll stay ahead of schedule. So before, I've been with Jackson Walker for 2.5 years, almost 3 years. Before that, I was in-house with Sutter Health in Northern California for 19 years. So joining Jackson Walker, I found myself on the other side representing physicians and negotiating their employment agreements for them. So I thought, you know, it'd be great to hear from the hospitals what's the key terms, you know, what are they willing to budge on, what are they unwilling to do, and what's their kind of thought behind the terms. So I really looked at probably the last 12 employment agreements that I've negotiated and looked at the common terms, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get to that, let's see if I can actually make this move. One of the things I was responsible for before at Sutter Health was supporting all the medical staffs and the credentialing with the boards. And an issue that came up time and time again was we would have our aligned medical groups, recruiters, spend half a year recruiting someone, convincing them to move cross-country, getting them ready to start and having them apply for credentials, and it became very clear that the hospital was not probably going to credential these people because of their red flags. So all of a sudden we had physician leaders on the medical group side and physician leaders on the hospital side that were kind of at loggerheads. And, you know, we had to kind of address how we were going to handle this. And of course, like any good hospital system, we had to do process improvement and put in, you know, I don't know if that was total quality improvement, Lean Six Sigma or Lean, but we went through it and came up with a pre-employment questionnaire just to make sure that the recruiters were asking the right questions and not investing their time in people that were going to never get credentialed or have a hard time getting credentialed. So I think you can do this either through an actual form, sending it to the physician they're recruiting, or just training the recruiters to ask the right questions. So Frankie, is this something you do at Baylor?
Yeah, so as an employer of physicians, we try to capture that most of that through our employment application process. But that really doesn't capture a lot of the kind of softer things that you might be looking for. So the application is going to ask all those questions, like have you had prior criminal convictions? Have you ever been, you know, suspended or removed from the medical staff? And some of the more obvious questions. But where I see things kind of go awry, which is what you alluded to, is some of the softer things like professionalism issues, behavioral issues, some of the outside interests or outside employment that a physician may have, and things in those categories. And so I think some of those are the more challenging ones that may not be captured specifically in, you know, an application or an employment questionnaire. And so how you